It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
We're going to start things off today wishing the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation a very happy birthday. RMEF was founded 35 years ago this week, and they have accomplished a lot during the course of their young life. Here's just a few things this organization has gotten done. They've protected or enhanced nearly 1 square mile of habitat every day since they were founded in 1984. 7.4 million acres have been protected and enhanced. This is an area roughly 3.5 times the size of Yellowstone National Park. 1.2 million acres have been opened up or have improved public access, roughly 2.5 times the size of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. RMEF has assisted with successful restoration of elk in Kentucky, Missouri, North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and even Ontario, Canada. They've had 10 consecutive years of record membership growth. They boast 12,000 volunteers across 500 chapters, and they have advocated for public access to public lands, reauthorization of the Land and Water Conservation Fund, wolf and grizzly delisting, forest management reform, and other conservation issues. One more thing, I love their tagline, hunting is conservation. Put it all together, and the RMEF and its partners have completed some 12,000 conservation and hunting heritage outreach projects with a combined value of more than $1.1 billion. Well done. And this organization, think about it, they haven't even reached middle age yet. Another young organization doing great work is, like the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, headquartered in Missoula, Montana. This one is the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and they have a different mission than RMEF, though they do agree on a lot of things. BHA is all about protecting our public lands and making sure they're accessible for fishing and hunting. Founded over an Oregon campfire in 2004, that's just 15 years ago, they now boast membership rolls of over 32,000 people, and unlike many other conservation organizations, the makeup of this group, like the group itself, is young, and with that youth comes a lot of passion. As you may recall, we brought you audio from the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers annual rendezvous last week in Boise, and this week we've got some more audio to share from that event, to include audio recorded at one heck of a field-to-table dinner featuring everything from duck to perch to dandelions and even pickled pike. After eating way too much good food during the first evening of this event, we headed to the convention center in Boise for the next couple of days, where we attended some great seminars and chatted with some of the vendors who had booths set up there. One of those vendors was the Nevada Department of Wildlife. They were there to invite the hunters and anglers attending the rendezvous to come to the Silver State for their next fishing or hunting adventure. We thought you might want to know about some of those opportunities too, and that's why we'll be chatting with Beth Kenna with NDOW about this during the show. Another vendor that was there was an organization called Global Rescue. Think of them as travel insurance, except they specialize not in missed flights and hotel stays, but instead of getting you out of a medical mess no matter where you are. You know, like maybe you're in the mountains of British Columbia or Alberta, miles back, and your horse falls on you. If that happens, and it has, they will come to the rescue no matter where you are around the globe, and they'll evacuate you to a medical facility back home. Think of them as the first phone call you'll want to make if things go really, really wrong on your big hunting or fishing adventure. Justin Walker with Global Rescue will join us to explain more about how all of this works towards the end of our program. What else do we have for you? How about a conversation with a former NFL tight end who played in the Super Bowl with the 1985 Chicago Bears. Yes, those Bears, the ones that won it all. What does it have to do with hunting or fishing? Well, quite a bit. Turns out this player, Tim Reitman, went and bought himself a ranch in southwest Idaho. It's called the Lazy Bear Ranch, and if you or your group are looking for a really nice place to spend a couple of days while hunting pheasant or fishing for bass and trout, I think this will fit the bill quite well. On top of this, we've got fishing reports for you from several states, some fishing tournament results, and outdoors news I think you'll be interested in too. But first, let's head to the foothills of Boise, Idaho, and see what's cooking for the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers' annual field-to-table dinner. Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we're checking in from the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Rendezvous just outside of Boise, Idaho. We're at a special event that's taking place. Well, it's kind of the first big event of the rendezvous. It's a field-to-table dinner. And with us here to tell you what they're using to cook some spectacular dishes is Brooks Hansen with Camp Chef. Brooks, always great to see you.
You know, it's great to see you, John. This is a really cool event that we're happy to be part of.
So Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, they sold a little over 100 tickets. I know they're pricey tickets, but, you know, this is a fundraising event. But just because it's a fundraising event doesn't mean it doesn't have to be fun. And this is shaping up to be both fun and delicious. What exactly is going on here in terms of the cooking and how this dinner's going to roll out for everyone?
Well, I was just talking to one of the chefs, and he said, you know what? I think you'd be hard-pressed to go anywhere in the country and see a wild game feast like what's put on tonight. I mean, you've got 12 executive chefs that know their way around wild game, both fish and land mammals, and they're preparing a four-course meal for some people that, you know, paid a pretty hefty price to come sit down and watch their chef skills and then, more importantly, eat their good food. The cool part, if you're ever in the outdoors or outside and you want to cook a killer meal, you got to have killer product, and so that's where we came.
Some of the food that's being cooked includes pronghorn, we got perch, we got walleye, and we got a whole lot more than that. This is not basic game cooking here. This is ultra advanced game cooking with all the garnishes too. And almost all of it is wild garnishes too. We're not getting any salad from Safeway here, folks. I mean, this is truly field to table. If you are a foodie, you would want to be here right now. But they are all doing one thing. They're all using a Camp Chef stove to prepare their meals. So why are they using this for great success?
Well, like we said, if you're going to prepare something spectacular, it starts with the tools that you got to have to build that. And so we feel like our stoves are really good, and they're going to come and play where they've got a 30,000 BTU burner, they've got a skillet, and a flat top griddle. From there, they can make whatever they need, a few pots and pans to throw in the mix. And we just feel it's a great opportunity to give back to these guys. They do such a great job. And the cool thing is these stoves that they're using here, they're going to get repurposed on Saturday for the wild game cook-off.
And by the way, all this cooking that's happening, all these meals that are happening, it's all outdoors. This is, after all, the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Rendezvous, so you wouldn't expect them to be eating in a convention center. Not a meal like this, and not the wild game cook-off that's happening tomorrow, where people are going to be judged, and boy, oh boy, do they have some interesting things that come out of that. If people want to get one of these stoves themselves, I mean, you've got a whole bunch of stoves. What's the particular one you're using here, and why would you recommend it over maybe some other stoves out there?
So what we brought for these chefs to use is our Pro 60X. It's a two-burner stove built on our 14-inch cooking system. It's two 30,000 BTU burners, and then they've got a couple accessories, like a flat-top griddle, a skillet, also a cast-iron grill-griddle combo. But the kind of the important part about that stove is we're on uneven ground outside. This Pro Series stove has all the bells and whistles. It's got fold-down side shelves, so you can have that extra surface to put your tongs or spatula or your sauces or whatever you're doing, any condiments on the side. You've got leg levelers. We're outside. Never know if that...
I love that.
Yeah, you never know if that ground is going to be even or uneven. So leg levelers. So that's why we chose the Pro Series. We want to make sure that it's our highest end stove. We want to make sure these guys had the best of the best to prepare a really killer meal.
And one other thing I love about Camp Chef products, I mean, it's durable. I mean, these hold up for a lifetime of outdoors cooking and outdoors camping.
You know, that's kind of what we hang our hat on. We've been in business for about 30 years. I was raised pretty close to Camp Chef headquarters, believe it or not. And my dad still has one of the very first Camp Chef stoves that was built. And we still use it at hunting camp. And that's something I hang my hat on, is this 30-year-old stove is still burning strong and it still makes great meals. And it's just awesome. That was kind of our whole mentality, is let's build something that, you know, is better, tougher, and more durable, and something that's built to last. And that's really what we hang our hat on.
And also has that high BTU output to cook your meals in a hurry. Now, I hate to cut you off, but dinner is smelling really good, and I need to get over there because I want to try some of the samples that are available there. But folks, if you want to find out more about Camp Chef products, a couple ways to do so. I mean, you can go to your local Sportsman's Warehouse store, just about all the big retail chains, they've got Camp Chef products. And if you can't, for whatever reason, find them where you live, really simple. Go to campchef.com. That's campchef.com. Look for the Pro 60 series and all sorts of other outdoors cooking equipment they have too. Brooks, let's go eat some food. Always a pleasure to talk to you on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
All right, thanks, John. Let's go eat.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericanOutdoorsRadio.com.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at AlaskasBestLodge.com.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're broadcasting from the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Rendezvous in Boise, Idaho. There's a whole bunch of exhibitors here, and one of the exhibitors is the Nevada Department of Wildlife. And if you're like me, you probably haven't thought a lot about Nevada as a fishing and hunting destination, but you know what? Maybe you should. And with us here to explain why is Beth Kenna, who works in the public information section of NDOW. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So when I think of Nevada and I think of fishing, I immediately think of Pyramid Lake and the Lahontan Cutthroat. They get really big, and people fishing off of ladders and doing crazy things like that. But there's a lot more, I understand, to fishing in Nevada than that.
There absolutely is. And it is deceiving, because if you drive through Nevada, you see the sagebrush, you see a lot of dryness. And we are the driest state in the nation, but we have a lot of waters. We have the Truckee River, which has amazing fishing. You can get browns, rainbows, Lahontan cutthroat out of that. There's also whitefish in there, and you know.
That's really interesting, because when I think the Truckee River, I think Reno, and I always think whitewater kayaking enthusiasts. I never really think about fishing it.
Right, yeah. No, there are a lot of whitewater enthusiasts too. But we definitely have a lot of fish in there. We've also got Lake Tahoe. Half of that lake is on Nevada property. So up there we've got Mackinac, Kokanee. I mean, we're pretty diverse, and our stream systems are really cool. The Bruno River, we've got the red band trout up there. Just all over the state, there's tons of good fishing.
What about other parts of Nevada besides Northeast Nevada in terms of fishing? You do have one very big lake that comes to mind.
Lake Mead?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, Lake Mead's been going off too. For stripers, wipers, I mean, bass. It's so much fun to get down there and fish in the heat. And it's beautiful. And it is utilized a lot by the locals around there. But it's even a good place for a destination.
Oh, absolutely it is. But Nevada is also a place to come hunting, and I'll be honest, it's not the place I ever thought of coming hunting until I saw your booth. I mean, you do have non-residents come to Nevada that have figured this out before me, and you do have some quality big game hunting, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. This year, in fact, we had over 15,000 non-residents that applied, and that was out of the 74,000 total sportsmen that we had. We allocate 10% of our tags to the non-residents, and our big game is so extensive. It's such a cool experience.
And I understand, at least looking at the board at your booth, that what, 341 bighorn sheep were harvested in Nevada last year? I mean, that's huge compared to a lot of other states. In fact, probably just about any other state.
It is. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, in all the western states, we give out the most bighorn tags. And we've really built this program up. I mean, over the years, our dedicated biologists, not only just in the bighorns, but in our mule deer and our elk and everything, we try to keep $30 for every 100 does in our mule deer program. And that allows for just an amazing experience when you come out here, you know. And in addition to that, having just the mass amount of public lands, 85% of Nevada is public lands. So a lot of times when you go on these hunts, you're not hunting with all these other people right around you. It's an amazing experience.
Oh, it absolutely sounds that way. And I have heard of the mule deer hunting. We now know how good the bighorn sheep hunting is. But we should probably talk about upland birds, too, because you've got some really unique upland bird opportunities in Nevada.
We absolutely do. Yeah, in addition to, you know, the chukar, several species of quail, we've also got Himalayan snowcock. Does anybody?
I had never even heard of that until about 6 months ago when somebody with Backcountry Hunters and Anglers sent me a Facebook message saying, oh, I got one of these in Nevada. It's like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, they're so cool. So they were introduced in the 60s, and we give out about 170 free permits. And if you buy a hunting license, you can get the permit if you get there in time to get it. But it's such a cool experience. They're mostly up in the Ruby Mountains, and you can even get a mule deer tag for that area and kind of try to double up and shoot a snowcock and a mule deer. But it's a really interesting hunt because you're, you know, it's like you're almost hunting a big game animal. They're elusive. They live way up in rocky areas. And I mean, even if you get up there and you don't harvest, it's still an incredible experience.
So, last question. If people want to find out more about hunting and fishing opportunities in the state of Nevada, what's the website we need to steer them to?
We need to steer people to ndow.org. Tons of information on there.
That's ndow.org, ndow.org for the Nevada Department of Wildlife. Check it out and make plans to go hunt and fish in Nevada. Beth, thanks so much for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having me, and come visit Nevada.
If you're looking for some other states to go fishing and hunting, Wisconsin is certainly a good option, and Lake Winnebago in eastern Wisconsin is a good place to go for walleye. Having said that, it has been hit and miss lately. During the last week, Captain Tim Uding of Get 'Em Hooked Guide Service reports taking his mother out onto the lake to go fishing for Mother's Day. Teaching her the subtleties of cold water walleye jigging was an initial challenge, but Mom figured it out, and they had a limit of 15 to 18-inch walleye in short order. Now that's what I call a good son, and a Mother's Day she'll remember. Lake Winnebago is near one of our affiliate stations, WHBY AM 1150 out of Appleton, and some of our listeners there may be interested in not only fishing this big home lake, but maybe doing a little fishing if they find themselves in nearby Green Bay. Scouring the web for recent fishing reports, they are catching some white bass from shore near the mouth of the Fox River and some walleye as well at Voyager Park in the 15 to 25 inch range, but it's been a little slow due to the colder water temps. On the other hand, those water temperatures are slowly rising, and as they do, the fishing will probably get better too. Our thanks to Tim Uding, The Outdoor News, and Wisconsin DNR for the reports. Another place where the water needs to warm up some for better fishing is the Ohio River near the little town of Gallipolis, Ohio. That's where teams from six states competed last weekend in the Cabela's King Cat Tournament on the Ohio and Kanawha Rivers. Anglers had to deal not only with cold water temperatures, but cold winds and cloudy skies, too, that put a damper on the fishing for those catfish. In fact, the winning team of Pennsylvania anglers William Stewart and Edward Duplantis didn't even bring in a 5-fish limit to the weigh-in. They did bring in 4 fish, though, and those 4 cats weighed nearly 107 pounds. That earned these two a $4,200 check, and if you're wondering what they use for bait, I'll let you in on their little secret. They use shad. Stick around. We've got more fishing and hunting coming your way, to include a great ranch to enjoy these activities at in one of our Rocky Mountain states that is owned by a former NFL player who played for that 1985 Super Bowl team most of us simply refer to as the Bears.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. And it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They're super friendly. Call 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're heading to Southwest Idaho because if you're looking for a place to maybe take your group or your family out for a great pheasant hunt, maybe stay the night in some wonderful accommodations and do a little fishing too, we've got just the place for you. It's called the Lazy Bear Ranch, and with us to tell you more about it is the owner, Tim Reitman. Tim, great to have you on the air.
Hey, thanks, John. Great to be here.
So why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about the Lazy Bear Ranch, exactly where you're located and what you offer?
Sure, John. So, you know, let me start out by telling you how I came about the name. So I was an All-American football player at UCLA. I was drafted by the Chicago Bears, and I was lucky enough to be there during the 1985 season. I was a tight end on the Super Bowl champion Chicago Bears, or as I like to say, and these are the NFL's words, the greatest team in football history. So I got to be a UCLA Bruin, which is a Bear, then a Chicago Bear. And so I figured, you know, what's better than in retirement, a Lazy Bear? But I've done anything but be lazy here. I've got about 200 acres. I'm not a farmer. I grew up two blocks from the beach in Southern California. So all of this has been learned as I reinvented myself moving to Idaho from Southern California. And all my fields are planted for pheasant and bird habitat. I have about a little over half a mile of river frontage on the Weezer River, which has smallmouth bass and certain times of the year trout. I reconstructed my ponds. I've got about 17 acres of what I say lakes now, with about 15 feet of depth. And we do pheasant hunts here in the fall, and we go actually from September until April with our pheasant hunts. We overlap that with the fishing, and then we have some pretty good waterfowl hunting too, if people are licensed correctly here in the state of Idaho, and we get some pretty good waterfowl coming down certain times of the year.
Sounds like an even better destination to visit now. This is really good. I've got to tell you though, I remember that 1985 NFL season where the Bears went 15-1. And I remember watching the one game your team lost. I was a senior at Eastern Washington University. I still remember the bar. I was at Goofy's, and everybody was watching the Bears that
on
year.
On a Monday night.
Monday night football. Miami. And yeah. The only game that you lost was that. Don't ask me why I remember that season. You have lots of reasons to. Me, not so much. But it was something else. I mean, the Bears definitely captivated everybody in 1985. So I had to share that little story. Story about your season. That
well,
was...
you know, our coach Dicka would say that we were characters with character, and you know, we kind of captured the imagination of the country because we did things outside of football, like doing the Super Bowl shuffle, and you know, even when we hadn't even won the Super Bowl yet, we haven't even made it to the playoffs, and so we would have been the biggest, you know, losers of all time if we didn't follow through and win the Super Bowl that year. But we had a lot of characters on our team with McMahon and. You know, the one player that everyone asked about was the Fridge.
Right.
You know, he was so popular. I mean, even people that weren't football fans, John, became interested in football because of just the personalities on that team. And, you know, we had some great players with Walter Payton and Mike Singletary and Dan Hampton, Richard Dent, all in the Hall of Fame. So it was just it was one of those teams that for that year just captured the imagination of the country that of people that didn't even really watch football, but they got interested in it.
Well, I'm glad you got to be part of it. But, you know, you mentioned something else, the learning curve. I mean, so you made your million or so in football. You decide to come out to South.
Come on, John. I played before free agency.
Oh, so
there
you
was
made
no millions back then.
You made your $100,000 in a career
there
of football.
You, go.
you moved to Southwest Idaho. You decide to build this ranch. Was this your vision from the get-go to have a pheasant hunting preserve and a place to fish and a great place for people to stay?
Not at all. So, you know, after football, I had always been investing in real estate apartments in my hometown, which was San Pedro, California. And what happened is my dad had retired to Idaho. He had found Idaho before I was born bird hunting. He was coming back from an elk hunt. He was one of the few guys in California that loved to hunt. And he was hunting elk in Montana, driving through Idaho. And the story goes, his two buddies were too drunk to drive and he was too tired to drive anymore. So they pulled into Little Weezer, Idaho. There was a cowboy in there talking to the manager of the hotel or motel they were driving in there. And he made friends with him. And my dad went up there. The guy asked him, hey, do you have your shotguns? I have a little place up the road. I could use some chucker thinned out. And that guy actually had about a 10,000 acre ranch. My dad made friends with him, would save all his vacation time for the month of October and then come up to Idaho and hunt birds in the month of October. I had never visited Idaho until after I retired from football in the early 90s. My dad had already retired up here for about 5 years. I did that for about 8 or 9 years, fell in love with the area, and I was living in Santa Monica, and I was an actor for about 13 years along doing the real estate thing.
Wow.
And I just fell in love. Yeah, I just fell in love with the Idaho and the beauty of it and decided I needed to buy some property. I bought some property. With no intention of ever doing what I'm doing now, I built my lodge thinking my friends from California would come visit me. They never did. So I said, well, I'm lonely. I got to figure out a way to get people to come visit me. And so I started the pheasant hunting. And our first year, which was about 10 years ago, we had about 25 hunters. Now we average about, you know, over 300 hunters a year. We only take like one group a day. I guide all the hunts personally. People can bring their own dogs if they like, or I have dogs on site that when I guide, I'll use my dogs and help guys find birds. And it's gone really well. We have a lodge. We have a cook. We can sleep up to 10 people here. And it's a nice, intimate situation. You don't go to some of the really nice, big places that are Orvis endorsed where they bring in, you know, 60 people at a time. But I like to keep it intimate. I say I'm more like a Kimpton hotel than a Hilton.
Nice.
So I like to keep it small, intimate groups where I actually get to know the people. That's what's fun for me, is to have guys come out and get to know me and, you know, tell football stories and fishing stories and hunting stories and that sort of thing.
Well, it sounds like an absolute cast and blast opportunity. Do you still have openings coming up for this fall if somebody is interested in staying with you for a couple of days and doing some pheasant hunting and doing some trout and bass fishing, say, September, October?
Absolutely. Yeah, we typically start the third week of September because it is hot in southern Idaho in September, so it's kind of hard on the dogs. So we usually start about the third week, and then we go all the way until, with the pheasant hunting, we'll go all the way into mid-March. I do have openings if people are interested. I have a great website. It's lazybearranch.com, and they can find out. There's lots of photos and ways to get a hold of me, contact information, and so it's very easy to get a hold of me if they want to come out and spend some beautiful time out here in the fall.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity again, folks. The website, lazybearranch.com. That's lazybearranch.com. Go ahead and check out the website and book a trip. Stay a couple days in the great accommodations they have. Do some pheasant hunting, do some fishing, and yes, talk some football with Tim Reitman. He'll tell you all about his college days and his time with the Chicago Bears. Tim, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thanks, John.
Speaking of great lodges and fantastic outdoors adventure, I need to tell you about an opportunity taking place this summer at Sportsman's Cove Lodge on Prince of Wales Island in southeast Alaska, not far from Ketchikan. You'll fly in on a float plane when you go here. You'll go to this secluded lodge in this beautiful setting, and every day you get to go fishing on a really comfortable boat with five other anglers. You're going to be fishing for halibut, for lingcod, for rockfish, for true cod, and of course, for salmon. There's kings, there's silvers, there's chum, there are pinks. You are going to get a lot of fishing in. You're going to have a lot of fun, and you're going to be treated like royalty. The customer service is off the charts. The accommodations are fantastic, and the food, oh my goodness, is absolutely wonderful. Now, here's the opportunity. If you are an individual or maybe a couple, and I'm talking a couple of guys or maybe a boyfriend, girlfriend, maybe you're married, and you want to experience Alaska, but you always thought it was out of your price range, it's not. They've got select dates that are 50% off the normal rate. You heard that right, 50% off. So if you're a couple, that's two for the price of one. And if you're an individual, you get your trip 50% off, and you are treated just like everybody else paying full price. Again, only select dates are available, and it's only for individuals and couples. It's onesies and twosies. That's all that's left because this place is so popular. But if you want to get in on this, you need to go to the Sportsman's Cove Lodge website. You'll find it at alaskasbestlodge.com. Again, that's alaskasbestlodge.com. When you get there, pick up the phone. When you get there, look for the phone number, dial that phone, ask for Denise. You want to talk to Denise when you get to alaskasbestlodge.com and pick up the phone. She's the one that has the dates that are available, and in no time at all, you can book a trip to Sportsman's Cove Lodge, enjoy the ultimate Alaska fishing and lodging experience, and do so for a price that you'll never see again. The website one more time, alaskasbestlodge.com. Book your trip now this summer to Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
There's no more majestic, magical, adventuresome country than the Western United States of America to enjoy a great family vacation. Hello, I'm Mark Hemstreet, owner of Shiloh Inns. Shiloh Inns are still offering affordable four-star accommodations at two-star prices. Enjoy deluxe smoke-free suites, spacious pools and spas, and fully equipped fitness centers. From free high-speed internet in every room to a free continental breakfast or full hot, delicious breakfast at most Shiloh Inns. There are no hidden fees like some of the big chain hotels charge. Even the kids stay free, and Shiloh Inns are dog-friendly. For reservations, call 1-800-222-2244 or visit our website at shilohinns.com. Shiloh Inns, affordable excellence. American family-owned and proud of it.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers seeks to ensure North America's outdoor heritage of hunting and fishing. Lend your voice to the fight by visiting backcountryhunters.org and join the 25,000 men and women who have pledged to defend wildlife and public access.
Next up on America Outdoors Radio, I got a question for you. Are you planning a really, really big trip? Maybe something international. Maybe you're going to go hunt bear or sheep in British Columbia or Alberta. Maybe you're going to head to Belize or somewhere to go fishing on the trip of a lifetime, or Costa Rica maybe. Or maybe you're heading to Africa for a safari. So here's my second question. Assuming you're going on a trip like this, what are you going to do if things go wrong and you get injured and you need medical help, or if you need evacuation? Well, there's somebody that can help with that. They're called Global Rescue, and we're talking to Justin Walker about exactly what this company provides to you, the traveling hunter and angler. Justin, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So I think I kind of summed up a little bit about what you have, but essentially it's travel insurance, and you cater to hunters and anglers in particular. Tell our listeners more.
Yeah. So we're a membership organization. We're not travel insurance, very clear, but very similar. The biggest difference between us and, you know, travel insurance is going to be field rescue. We're from point of injury to home hospital. A lot of travel insurance will kick in once you are to the hospital. We're the guys that come get you when you're out in the field and no one else is coming. We'll come get you. We'll bring you out.
Well, and that's a really big deal, especially in this day and age of air evacuation, which runs thousands and thousands of folks. We're talking like 40, 50 plus grand for a helicopter ride. Something like what your organization offers, I mean, it's a financial maker breaker, isn't it?
You bet. Yeah. I mean, some of those evacuations can cost up to $100,000 or more, you know, depending on the remoteness of the location. So it really depends on where you're at around the world. But yes, essentially, we'll come get you and get you out. We do that. And also, we do a lot of advisory services. So, you know, you call us up anywhere in the world, and within, you know, a couple minutes, you're talking to a paramedic or a nurse, a certified medical care professional about what's going on in your situation. And we also help with, you know, passport issues, things like that. We can help as well. So our advisory service is huge for travelers all over as well.
So let's talk about a couple real-world examples where you've helped hunters and anglers out.
Sure. I mean, we do a lot of operations. As of right now, we're at 20,000-plus operations around the world.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, we've been around the block. We've done a lot. We've done our homework. We're the best in the industry as far as field evacuation goes.
And I understand your company's not new. It's been around, like you said, 15 years old?
Yep, 2004. Dan Richards is the CEO. He established it. He's very passionate about the company and what we do. And you know, our motto at work is we save lives. And it's a big deal to us.
Well, let's play Tell Me a Story. And I understand one involves an elk hunt.
Yes. So, I mean, we have so many. We perform a lot of operations. One particular that comes in mind and really resonates with me as a bow hunter, we had two gentlemen in the backcountry of Idaho a couple years ago that were cutting up an elk. And one of the guys was going on the corner, the elbow of the elk, slipped, cut his leg open, and they left the knife in because it was so deep. I mean, he hit it pretty hard. And luckily, they did have a sat phone in this case, but they didn't have service where they were at, even with the sat phone. I mean, they were so deep in some of these canyons. And the friend that he was with ended up hiking to the top, getting service, and ended up calling us. And we were able to orchestrate, you know, their rescue. And, you know, imagine this being, you know, 12 miles deep, six horses, two mules, and the friend that wasn't hurt had to get that animal out of there with all of the mules and horses. So it was a big deal. That's one that comes to mind. Another one, we had an angler in Kamchatka, Russia, that slipped off of a boat, hurt his neck really bad, and we had to get him out. And this location was so remote and high altitude that we couldn't get a chopper in there. So there's kind of a joke running around our office, you know, a mule, jeep, helicopter, it doesn't matter, we'll get you out. And that's kind of our thing, you know, we'll figure it out. And that's really what we do. I mean, every situation is different, and our ops team is amazing at putting those puzzle pieces together and getting somebody out and saving their life.
Okay, so clearly you offer a valuable service for hunters and anglers, but it's not just an annual membership to be part of Global Rescue. You can actually purchase a medical plan or a medical and evacuation plan for just one trip, can't you?
Yes, we have a seven-day membership that you can buy for $120. So it covers you up to 7 days when you're in the backcountry or Alaska or wherever. So, and then it goes up to an annual trip as well. And that, you know, the annual membership costs $329.
For that kind of peace of mind, based on the stories you just told, well worth the price, folks. Again, you are going to be taken to your home hospital no matter where you are in this world. All you have to do is when that bad thing happens, if that bad thing happens, God forbid, you contact Global Rescue first. That's the first call you make with your sat phone or your cell phone, and they will take it from there and they will come to the rescue. What's the website so folks can find out more about the services you offer?
GlobalRescue.com.
That's globalrescue.com, globalrescue.com. Peace of mind for $120 for a trip. I'd say that's a pretty good price. Thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you.
It's time for the Trail of Shame.
Shame, shame on you. Shame, shame on you.
Stories of poachers, scoundrels, and other ne'er-do-wells. So if you see someone committing a criminal act on the water or in the field, turn them in. It's the right thing to do.
It's been a while since anybody's walked our trail of shame, but we've got some contenders this week. From the Outdoor Hub, we learned three Montana poachers have pled guilty to federal charges after killing a mountain lion inside of Yellowstone National Park. The three young men, all 19 and 20 years of age, are Austin Peterson, Trey Junka, and Corbin Simmons. They gunned down the cougar last December in the northern section of the national park, transported the carcass back to their vehicle, and then reported the cougar was killed in Montana outside the park boundaries. Their stories soon fell apart, and now the three each have to pay fines of around $1,700, serve 3 years probation, and have their hunting, fishing, and trapping privileges suspended for 3 years as well. The National Park Service, in a press release, seems pretty happy about this result, but personally, I think the U.S. attorney and or the judge let these young men off with a slap on the wrist. In my opinion, if you're going to kill a big game animal in a national park, knowing full well that you're breaking the law, you deserve a whole lot more punishment than this. And I think jail time and heftier fines would be a far better deterrent to this happening again than what little punishment was handed down here. Having said that, we'll do our part here at America Outdoors Radio to highlight the actions of these poachers and call them out for it, too. So Austin, Trey, and Corbin, come on down. You need to start walking the trail of shame. If you find yourself surfing the web in the days ahead, I hope you'll go to our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio. Like us, follow us, and stay in the know about what's going on in the outdoors in your nation. We've got a website too, AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com, and you can find previews of upcoming shows there, along with podcasts of our most recent show. There's other platforms where you can hear this show and previous ones as a podcast, too. One of them is Radio Public. We're also on Podbean and Stitcher. Just look for America Outdoors Radio or go to our YouTube channel. That is Northwestern Outdoors. One word, Northwestern Outdoors. Subscribe to that and you'll catch not only this show, but our sister show, Northwestern Outdoors Radio. Finally, if you find yourself in front of a computer at 6 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays, tune into our show on TalkAmericaRadio.us. That's the new voice of conservative talk radio on the internet, and I hope you'll listen to us and some of the other shows that air there as well. Memorial Day weekend is coming up really quick. And if you haven't made reservations, you better do so, or maybe get out there on Wednesday or Thursday to a state or national forest or county campground and snag a spot. It is, after all, the beginning of the camping season and summertime fun for a whole bunch of us. So whether you're going to be camping or fishing or hiking or maybe getting in some spring turkey hunting before the season closes, I hope you will have some fun, whatever you choose to do. Here's hoping you're blessed in the days ahead, and here's hoping you get to enjoy one or more of these activities too. After all, it is your country and your outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.
They were our brothers, our sisters, sons and daughters. They were our parents, family, our neighbors, and our friends. How can we express the gratitude that we all owe the thousands and thousands of American veterans who have sacrificed so much for our country's freedom? It was they who stepped forward from the time this country was created to fight for everything we know about liberty and freedom. And although we celebrate their victories and console them for their losses by creating monuments and honoring them in parades, the truth is we can never do enough for the freedom they've given us. Perhaps the most important thing we can do is reach out to those veterans closest to us and simply tell them, thank you. Thank you for all you've done for freedom. All of us at Shiloh Inns would like to take this opportunity to recognize the many men and women who have served and continue to serve our country so that we will always be free. Thank you, veterans, from everybody at Shiloh Inns.